Maybe it's okay that it never gets easier because I really am trying to be present. I want to be really listening and digging into what they're saying and asking follow-up questions. But I've also got these three or four big topics, and I've also got a clock going, and I haven't quite figured out how to balance both of those things because I'm very aware that they've gifted me these, you know, this hour of their time, and I feel a real responsibility to make something valuable out of it. Hi, I'm Bob Mathers, and welcome to The Growth Mixtape, a podcast where I talk to the most interesting people you might not have come across yet. I find that these conversations give me new insights and perspectives about topics I didn't know existed. These conversations might not seem to have a lot in common at first, but just like songs and a mixtape, it creates something memorable and emotional. So this is a fun little bonus episode where my producer Amy and I chat about the podcast and explore what we've learned from our first 20 episodes. This conversation actually turned out to be a lot more emotional than I expected. Since getting sober a couple of years ago, I felt this sense of urgency to make the most of this last season of my career. I want to do more things that scare me, be more curious, get outside my comfort zone, and see what else is possible. And I think a lot of us feel this way, but we get stuck. Where do I start? What will people think? What if I suck? But here's the thing, every one of my guests has felt this way. They're ordinary people that have done extraordinary things, and their stories make anything feel possible. Now, one thing I was really hoping for that hasn't happened yet, I thought it would get easier. These conversations still scare the shit out of me. But I think that's okay. If we keep expanding our comfort zone, then stepping outside it is always going to be scary. And maybe that's how we know it's worth doing. Please enjoy Amy and Bob. Hi, Amy. I've called you my wizard behind the curtain because you're the producer that makes all of this stuff actually sound, well, what I've been told is really good. Thank you. This is going to be a bit of a different episode, but I thought we'd have a conversation about how the podcast is going and what we've learned so far. And I get a chance to sit in on the other side of the table for a chance, which is kind of cool.
Well, I think it's great. And I'm excited to chat about your experience as a podcaster so far.
Yeah. So where do we begin?
So why don't we start with why you decided to start a podcast? Many people say they would like to do it. Some even have a title that they had in mind, but often they don't go much beyond that. So what was your motivation or driving force to really get started?
That is so hilarious you asked me that because I was reflecting on this conversation, preparing for it. And I'm like, I don't even know how the hell this started. Whose idea was this? Where did this come from? But I think it really stemmed from, I mean, basically I'm a kid of the, you know, I'm a kid of the 70s. So I grew up watching WKRP. I mean, I get a chance to have my own radio show. It just sounded kind of cool. And, you know, it's not very hard to get started. But the big thing was I was talking to Tricia Mumby, who was one of our earlier guests in episode 2 or 3. And she's like, oh, you should talk to my friend, Amy. And you and I talked and you made it feel really easy. And so that's why I did it. It just sort of was something that I was curious about whether I could do. It sounded fun. And I was on this thing where I'm trying to do more things that kind of scare me a little bit. And it was a conversation with you that was sort of the spark and said, okay, let's try this out.
Well, I'm so glad that you ended up doing it after we talked. What was the thing that started you doing the more things that you're curious about?
Yeah, well, honestly, it probably stems back to quitting drinking back about 2.5 years ago. The first year was basically getting through all the firsts and trying to prove to myself that I could do it. Like the first long weekend, the first hockey tournament, the first boys weekend, the first concert, these things that would always be like really, you know, boozy affairs. And then the second year was sort of like, oh, it turns out these things can be just as much fun. And then I started feeling this kind of pull to make up for lost time. Like, oh my God, I have got 7 days a week to be productive instead of 5 days a week when I'm not partying or hungover and riddled with anxiety. And so I think it really does stem back to that. And the podcast is just one of the things that I've done in addition to other things that I've started with my business. But it's the thing that I thought, yeah, this is probably something I couldn't have done a couple of years ago, but let's give it a shot. That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that until now.
Well, I'm glad you did it. I think your show is very unique in the sense that the topic is broad, but you don't seem to find it intimidating in the sense of how do I keep it all in a little circle kind of thing, because you really just want to talk to interesting people that do interesting things. So what excites you about that?
Well, there's lots of it that scares the shit out of me and intimidates me. So I'm glad it doesn't always show. You know, some of the best advice I got, and maybe this was from you, I don't even remember where it came from, I'm sure it was from you, was don't worry too much about what it's about. Just start having conversations, press record, and what the podcast is about or what it was meant to be about will sort of reveal itself after a dozen episodes or something. And I do spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the fuck is this thing about? Like, why would anybody listen to this? But that was the best advice I ever got, because if I hadn't had that, I would still be sitting here trying to think. I think I'd be stuck where most people get stuck. It's like, there's 5 million podcasts on Spotify. What have I got to say that somebody hasn't said before? Why would anybody care about what I think? What am I going to say that's unique or special? What kind of value can I deliver? And it's the reason I haven't written a book. It's the reason I don't do a lot of speaking. It's just like, because I get paralyzed by this. And I love the idea of just get started. Like, just press record, start having conversations. So that's the part of it. The other part of it, though, too, is that I think, you know, I talked about those 5 million podcasts on Spotify. 80% of those probably have less than 40 episodes. So if this is going to be something that I want to sustain, there have to be conversations that I'm genuinely excited to have and curious about. So if I'm doing it for somebody else, if I'm doing it for an audience, if I'm trying to deliver value in a certain way, I just feel like my enthusiasm is going to die out. So I've got to just chase my curiosity. And that's probably the only way that I can sustain this. At least that's how I've approached it so far.
Well, I think it's a good approach. I think authenticity and curiosity and consistency is a big thing in the podcasting world. And you've been doing great so far. And I like the general nature of it because there's no order, which is kind of nice. If someone finds a topic they're interested in, they can just listen. And then they can listen to something else, and they can listen to podcast number 8 or 2, or
yeah.
It doesn't matter how they listen to it. So I think it's freeing for a listener.
So there's a lot of wisdom in that sort of statement. A couple of things. One, this also coincided to me binging on Rick Rubin and his book, The Creative Act, which flies in the face of virtually everything I do when I work with founders and CEOs. Because in my work, it's all about who's your audience? What do you have to deliver? What are their problems? What value can you deliver that's unique to you that nobody else can do, et cetera. And Rick Rubin's point is your audience is the last thing you should be thinking about. If you make art for yourself, then it will be authentic and it will connect with people. And it's not about, you know, having a million followers. It's about finding your 1,000 true fans. So be true to yourself, find something that you care about, and you know, people will find you. And so I always think about that because I spend so much time thinking like, why would anybody listen to this? Like, should I be providing like, you know, Tim Ferriss, like 5 useful tips out of every episode? I'm like, I can't do that. I don't know. Why don't we just have curious conversations that I'd never normally have? And these are smart people. They can listen to those stories and take away what they want to take away. So yeah, I'm always, it's just such a weird thing. It's like, yeah, Rick Rubin says, I'm not supposed to care. Just have conversations that you want to have and be proud of it. And I'm like, all right, I'll take it from you, Rick. You seem to know what you're talking about. And it does seem to be a lot easier than trying to figure out what value I provide.
Sometimes it's just about telling stories.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. We've heard some really good ones.
We have. Now, you mentioned your work a little bit, so I want to talk about this a little bit because I feel like I'm in a position where it's like when you meet someone and you forget their name and it's too long for you to ask what their name is. I want to know a little bit more about what you do because from my layperson understanding, you are a customer success and revenue coach, but I don't exactly know what your job entails.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. So yes, I'm a consultant and a coach. I work with startups. So people that are trying to find their first customers are trying to grow their business from their first 10 customers to 100, from 100 to 1,000, or from 1,000 to 1,000,000. So it obviously spans a lot of different companies in there. But yeah, it's really about how to create experiences with your customers that prove the value that you promised on your marketing, on your website, in your marketing, in your sales cycle. You've made these big promises. How are we going to deliver that in a tangible and measurable way? And then how are we going to scale that so that we can grow profitably? So it usually involves working with founders, CEOs, and leaders of largely tech companies, but not only. And anybody that wants to grow their business by focusing on their customers and making sure that they're delivering value. In a nutshell, that's what it's all about.
There. Now I know when people ask, what does Bob do? I can tell them, because I get that question sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting because, again, going back to what the podcast was all about, and I was like, people are like, okay, well, you've got a brand, and then so you're going to have your business, and then you're going to have your podcast, and then if you want to do speaking, or, you know, this is all connects through your brand and everything. I'm like, no, I have no idea what the answers to any of those things are. I just want to have a podcast. And my only two rules for the podcast were, it can't be about customer success, because frankly, there's a million of them and there's lots of good ones. I don't have much to offer that conversation, or it just wasn't something that interested me. But rule number two was, just let's find some people I'd never normally come across that I'm curious about. And those are the only two criteria. It almost necessarily doesn't have anything to do with my work, which is really weird. Like, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm promoting this podcast that has nothing to do with 90% of my content. And I'm sure the marketing people would look at this and say, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. But I'm like, well, that's what I'm doing. But of course, the interesting thing is, what I'm learning is that people are just people. These are very human stories. And every one of them ties back to your work, your family, your friendships, I've sort of snuck in the back door on a whole bunch of stuff that does relate to my business, even though I didn't plan it that way.
Well, and I like that when you talk to them, you're talking to them as humans and not just because of what they do.
Yeah, you're right. It's interesting. You can have guests that have really interesting points of view and have maybe got a great book or, you know, something interesting to say, but if they can't do it through stories, you know, it's good. It's interesting. You might have a couple of takeaways, but it just doesn't land or connect. And so, and I talk to people all the time, try to get feedback on the podcast, and the episodes that really stick with people are those emotional stories that sort of came out of nowhere that they didn't expect to hear when they tuned in.
What's some of the feedback that you've gotten so far?
Well, yeah, it's funny. We're about 18 episodes in, so I did go to a few people and ask them, because it's always kind of a weird thing. It's safe to say, Amy, that you and I are the only people that have listened to every episode. not my wife, not my best friends, and they don't really want to say that, but I'm like, I really wish I could see the names on the spats on Spotify and Apple so I could tell definitively. But sometimes I plant little Easter eggs about my friends and stories in the episodes.
Yes, you
so
do.
That if I know that episode comes out and a couple of weeks later they haven't texted me going like, hey, dude, why did you say this about me? Like, if they haven't, or they'd be like, hey, I love that story you told about, you know, that thing. And I know if they don't say anything, yeah, you haven't listened to this. You're not listening to it.
I love that. I know. I would just want to know like the names of my like extended family or whatever on if they're listening. Other than that, I don't need the names.
Yeah. I think some of the feedback I've gotten was that, you know, people can listen to life lessons from these massive people that are successful and everything. But I think there's a lot to be gained from just people that are a little like closer to home, like a little closer to where we are in our life, in our age, in our careers. It's like, oh yeah, you know, they can do this. I can do it too. It's not these lofty things and that, you know, just seem, I think, a little out of reach. And I do think that people just sort of appreciate the fact that there's not always a real lesson in it. Like, we're just going to share some stories. And it's interesting. I talk to people all the time, and what they take out of episodes is very different than what I take away, which means that it's not my job to tell you what it means, that we can all take away our own things from it. And even that those things will change over time. So an episode, I'll listen to an episode and then I'll go back and listen to it a couple months later. And yeah, it's completely changed its meaning. I think I shared the one with Todd McTavish, who's a singer-songwriter, right? And that was right around the time that my son had some emergency surgery and it was really serious and it was a really scary time for us. And so I think we had recorded that conversation with Todd a month before. Then I was doing the kind of the show notes and the intro and everything. And I was like, yeah, I guess it's about creativity because he's a songwriter and that's pretty interesting. And then we went through this thing with my son and then I came back like, oh no, that's not what it's about at all. It's about taking big swings and saying yes to more things and life is too short. And it was the same conversation. It was written in stone a month before, but when I listened to it again, it'd taken a whole new meaning because of what was going on. So I love that idea. And maybe I don't have to worry so hard about figuring out what the lessons are from everything.
No, I think it's interesting that you have a different perspective on an episode based on what's going on in your life. So it's an interesting thing to recognize, I think. Now, on that, about we've talked about your guests and some of your listeners, we should talk a little bit more about you. So can you tell us a bit about your family, your hobbies, your passions?
Yeah, my passions in a nutshell are doing active things outside with my family. When I think back about, you know, when I quit drinking, I did spend some time reflecting and thinking about the times that I was most present and happier. And yeah, it's like what I'm doing next week is going to New Brunswick, doing a shit ton of hiking and whale watching with my sons who are 19 and 22 and very aware that we're in this really nice pocket here. Like they're both in college. They're both still living at home, which is most of my friends are empty nesters now. And there's this pocket here and I don't know how long it's going to last. So spending as much time doing things like that with them and with my in-laws and up at the cottage, man, that's how I tend to prioritize my time is, you know, and I suck at golf, but if my kids ever open the door to be like, hey dad, and they're just like, you want to come golfing, dad? Cause I suck at it. But just the chance to spend 3 hours outside around chasing my ball through the woods with them is, you know, it's a dream come true, even though I usually only last about 15 holes because I give up.
It is about spending time with the people, though, and not always about what you're doing.
And other that passions, like I just play guitar and my wife is awesome and she's doing a lot of painting and sort of, you know, so we're just sort of settling into this. I don't know if you think about it. I think about my life in kind of decades usually, right? It's like your kids are less than 10 and then they're teenagers and now we're in this, they're in their 20s and it's coinciding with Jill and I kind of doing different things with work. And so, yeah, it's a cool time. It's not going to last forever. I'm okay with that. Things change, no problem. I just don't want to be 60 and look back and go, God, why didn't we make more of that time together? Because it's like Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. Like, you know, when we have boys, like when they leave, they're gone. I don't, who knows? Who knows when we see them again?
Yeah, can be very true for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I hope that our listeners have learned a little bit more about you. So let's move to a little more in depth about the podcast and your experiences so far. So can you tell me, what have you learned so far along the way?
Well, I do think about this a lot, actually. And I was talking to a few people lately about like, what is it about these conversations? Like, what are the themes that flow through this? One of the things that I really like is actually just a soundbite from Kelsey. And she said, I didn't know my best friend 5 minutes before I met her. And this idea that, you know, we look at somebody's life and I'll have them on the podcast. Maybe they got a book. We're on there to talk about whatever. But the journey that people take to any point in time, it's just like, it's an absolute miracle. Like any tiny, there are these big decisions that we make. Like I asked my wife to marry her and she said yes. And that defines the rest of my life. But there's always these, like Kelsey said, these little things. If I turned right instead of left and I never bumped into this girl and I never met her, my life would be unrecognizable from the way it is today. And most people's lives are like that. They're unpredictable. And yet we spend all this time planning for this future. We're going to retire when we're 55. We're going to have this money. We're going to do all of these things. And yet we've got a lifetime of experience that tells us that the universe doesn't give a shit what your plans are. It's got its own thing. And so I really like that idea that these journeys and these tiny little things that happen to people along the way can just change everything.
Have you connected with a guest outside of the podcast unexpectedly?
Let me think. Well, we stay in touch. I would say like we text a little bit, you know, Sensi, who is awesome. I'm a massive fan of hers. And now all my wife and all their friends, they're like, you know, they're massive fans because she announced, I don't know if it's public, she announced her pregnancy on the podcast at the very end of it because yes. She had just found out like within days before recording. And now at the time of this recording, like a week ago, she had her baby.
Oh.
And we're all just big fans of hers. Anyway, we text. So I do feel a certain, I don't know what the word is, kinship. That seems a little weird, but like
affinity.
An affinity or a connection to everybody, because I know it's only 45 minutes of their lives, but every conversation really means a lot to me. And we do talk about very real, sometimes vulnerable things. They're from all over the place too, but I definitely have kept in touch and created what I think will blossom into friendships at some point.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So how has it been different than what you expected?
How has it been different? I think in some ways I thought it would get easier. Now,
some things are easier.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like when I think back about those first, like, you know, that 45 second intro that I do at the beginning of the episode, hey, today we're talking to Bob London and he's blah, blah, blah. It would take me like an hour to do one of those at the beginning. And now I, frankly, is it because I've gotten better or I just realize it really doesn't matter that much? And you are always great to say, Bob, it's like they're already listening. It's no problem, but it's just something I had to go through. I had to learn that lesson the hard way, right? So parts of it gotten easier, but I still find that I guess I thought I would be more confident, and there's still conversations I get really nervous about. And I would say it's very rare at the end of a recording that I feel really good. Like we're done. I'm like, oh, I nailed that. That's going to be awesome. All I feel is like, oh God, I should have asked this. So that was kind of weird. I don't know what people are going to think of that. Like all this judgment. In fact, that fear of judgment is something that we talked about with Rob Carley when he was talking about his creative process, and Sylvia Bafour, mm-hmm. who was talking about emotional intelligence. And this idea that when we're creating, that fear of judgment is the biggest thing that holds me back. I was just talking to another founder about this we're both thinking of writing a book, and we talked about being accountability buddies. And she's like, yeah, that's the, like, you can't mix the judging and the creating. So I think that's what it feels like at the end of those episodes. Because when I go back and listen to it a month later, when you're like, okay, Bob, it's time to release so-and-so on Tuesday, and I go back and listen, I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I love this conversation. But man, it didn't feel that way at the beginning.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I feel a lot of relief sometimes, depending on who I'm talking to, when it's over, because I feel like I have to get it right, or I only have this much time. And when it's over, I'm like, okay, I did it. And, you know, I can understand. There's a lot that goes into hosting and guiding a guest through a conversation.
Yeah, it's really, that's a great point, Amy, because I want to be present. I want to be really listening and digging into what they're saying and asking follow-up questions. But I've also got these three or four big topics, and I've also got a clock going, and I haven't quite figured out how to balance both of those things, because I'm very aware that they've gifted me these, you know, this hour of their time, and I feel a real responsibility to make something valuable out of it. Maybe it's okay that it never gets easier, because I really am trying to be present, and it's just not a very human thing to be able to do that and focus on something else at the same time.
I don't think there's an end game with this. We keep getting better, we learn new things, you know, that kind of thing. So on that, what is the most challenging thing you find about podcasting?
Yeah, good question. I think it is, again, this responsibility I feel to make good use of the hour time that they've given me. And it's interesting when you ask that. I guess I feel a greater responsibility to my guests than I do about my audience. It's like maybe the audience could be like, yeah, this sucks. I can pause. I can fast forward. Like, you know, it's easy for them to opt out.
I'm going to listen in 2.5 times so I can get this done.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess I feel a greater responsibility to my guests to try to create something that they want to share and that they're proud of.
Well, I think that's probably the right thing to be doing because the faceless listener is hard to put that much care into. You want to make sure your guest has a good experience so that they can tell good stories.
Yeah, the other thing too is I don't know how to promote a podcast. Like I'm on LinkedIn is the only social media I'm on. I've never found out about a podcast on LinkedIn and be like, oh yeah. Like, for one thing, how am I going to do that? I'm reading it on my desktop. Now I'm going to open my app on my phone and search. It's just like really weird. So I know that's not the best way to promote it, but I'm not on other social media and it's just kind of weird. And I guess what? People are just magically going to find me. You know, Keith Richards is just going to text me one day and say, hey, I heard you got a podcast. I'd like to be on it. And it's going to go viral and explode. Like I have no idea how this is supposed to work.
I agree. It has to be about the guest and the listenership just is part of it that comes later.
Yeah.
So we talked about some challenges. What I really want to know is what part about podcasting do you enjoy the most and why?
Yeah, great question. I think it's just adding to the raw material that I have to borrow from in my life whether it's I'm going to do some speaking or I'm going to write a book or even in everyday conversations with my clients. It's just adding to the richness that I've got. Like I've talked to foreign news correspondents and first responder survivors and
authors and speakers and
exactly
like kite surfers.
Yes, absolutely. And how would this is never going to happen. Like how would these conversations happen any other way? They never would. And then on the surface, you might think, well, I mean, what are we going to talk about? What commonalities are we going to find or what can I learn from? It's like, it's all about this fear of judgment that we face when we're trying to do something new, or it's imposter syndrome, or it's tapping into creativity or summoning the courage to do things for the first time. It's like, I don't care who you are or how accomplished you are, how many books you've read, how many books you've written. These are just all very human things. So it's, I just really love the idea of having these conversations with people that I'd never normally come across. And yeah, how much that's sort of adding to the raw material I have at my disposal for whatever I want to do. And I did not expect that.
So I'm so glad that you shared your experience so far in our journey together. It's been fun for me and I love hearing all of the stories that you find, but I'd like to also talk about what's next. So first, what changes should we make to the show in the near future? And then what are your longer term goals for the podcast?
I don't know. I've thought about whether I should have, like whether you and I should do this more often.
I think we should. This has been fun.
Yeah. I don't know about most of my podcasts do have like a couple of people talking. I think, you know, I go back to like that challenge of being present. I'm like, God, wouldn't it be nice if I had somebody to sort of lean on and so I could focus on the conversation, have somebody that's sort of holding me, guiding the conversation a little bit. So that might be interesting. I think we should explore that. So what are my goals? I don't know. I mean, eventually, honestly, it would be cool to have a sponsor. You know, it doesn't cost a lot of money. It's just really my time and I really enjoy doing it. But I just think that's a goal that we should kind of aspire to. I will eventually want to figure out how this makes up the greater part of my kind of brand. Like, what is the intersection of the podcast and the business and other things I want to do? I'm okay with not having those answers now because I'm enjoying it and I'm just confident that it'll all work out. And as I said, stick to chasing our curiosity and having conversations that are genuinely interesting, then that's a good thing. I mean, how can that be a bad thing? Its purpose and in the greater whole of what I want to do with my life will become clear. And I do think these conversations, there's just, who knows where they're going to lead. You know, I think about the conversations that I think have been most powerful are the ones that I was really nervous about, really afraid of. I've been thinking about how to lean into more of that. Like, the scarier and weirder and more awkward it is, the more I think powerful it can be.
Your tagline, the more scary, awkward, and weird we're in.
Right.
But I also think it's a testament to the fact that you've been doing this for 6 months. And obviously, when you start, anybody listening who does a podcast, you lean on your friends and you lean on acquaintances. And you're now at the point where you're ready to just reach out to interesting people. And they're saying yes, because you already have a body of work and established podcast. And so I think that's some of it too. So when we started, I told you, you need to make a wish guest list. And those are people that you don't know, but you really want to talk to, but it's essentially a cold call at the end of the day. So you're starting to get there. Can you tell me a little bit about who's on that list for you right now?
Oh man, I don't have anybody
sure
on that
you
list.
Do.
There are probably, well, that's the thing. There are probably some authors. God, what is the name of the, I've mentioned it on the podcast a couple of times.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Dopamine Nation.
Yes. Dopamine Nation and Super Communicators by Charles Duhigg. So some of these books that I've read and that have really left a lasting impression on. Now, these are people that I only know because they were probably on Armchair Expert right. with Dax Shepard, which is like a top 10 podcast in the world. So, you know, they launch a book and they go on them and Joe Rogan and, you know.
It's the new circuit. We're going to insert you into the circuit. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. So there's probably some big names on there, but you're right. I haven't gone back to that list. I remember you telling me to make it when we started. I will go back to it. And there are probably, maybe not all of the names on there, but there's probably some that I'd be like, yeah, okay, what the hell? All they can do is say no.
That's right. You're ready to give it a try. I think that that's a good thing.
That's great advice. I like that. I want to dust that list off.
That's right. I think you have to have it. It's like that stretch goal idea that we, you know, and you just go for it. You never know who's going to say yes. That's been my experience.
Yeah. What ideas do you have for taking this podcast to the next level, whether it be guests that I could have on or how to make it bigger or things that you think might be interesting to explore with it?
I think when you mentioned how does it fit into everything else that you do, I think there is something there because you don't have a straight job, I would say. It's not like you're just X, right? You're a consultant and you help businesses of all sizes. And so I think with this podcast, you're learning all kinds of things that you can apply to what you do. And you may write a book and you've done some speaking. And I think it's a very interesting differentiator for you, for your brand. And I think there's something there about how we can make the podcast more present and help it define who Bob Mathers is in general.
Wow. I love that. I love that idea because again, yeah, maybe it's a book about, you know, what I learned talking to the 50 most interesting people I had never heard of.
Right.
And how that has changed
exactly
how I approach my work because, you know, you might say, well, what, you know, how would an hour conversation with an indigenous leader change how you help founders find more customers? Like, that's a dotted squiggly line that nobody would ever
right.
imagine. Be like, well, let me tell you how that conversation and 49 others sort of changed how I approach my work. Oh, interesting.
There's something there I think we can work on. So that's what we're going to have to do.
I like it. I like that.
Well, this has been so much fun, and we definitely have to do this more often, and I really hope that our listeners have learned a little bit more about you and what Growth Mixtape is about.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. You know, I was thinking about this before we were doing it. I don't know. I'm a child, as I mentioned, I'm a child of the 70s, and I remember like getting so excited to tune into my favorite episode of Happy Days or Knight Rider or whatever, and in the first like 60 seconds, you realize, oh no, it's one of those dreaded flashback episodes, right? Where they just go back and like show clips of old episodes. Like, oh my God, I've been looking forward to this episode all week long since last week at this time. And I'm so glad this didn't turn out to be one of those. It wasn't like a rehashing of everything we learned. It was really...
No, we have no clips from previous episodes. We're just learning a little bit about you and, you know,
no,
that's how it is. And we're going to do it again because you're going to accomplish a few more things and interview some more interesting people and have your own stories to tell.
And I really appreciate you doing this, Amy. I mean, this podcast never would have happened without you. You know, it was a conversation that we started. We got introduced. You made it sound something like any Joe Schmo who didn't know anything about podcasting that had grew up on listening to WKRP could do. And that's exactly, you sort of guided me and held my hand all the way through it. And I couldn't have done it without you. So it's been amazing. And I really like this conversation.
The Growth Mixtape Podcast with Bob Mathers is produced by Bespoke Projects. Music by Je M'appelle Walter Cronkite. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate us. When you do this, it helps to raise our podcast profile so that more people can find us. If you want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes.